We're on Daf Mem Hei Omer Aleph, and we are approximately 10 lines down in the wide lines. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar Lo Kasha. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is going to offer a fresh approach to reconcile what seems to be a contradiction between the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah in the case of those who are going out for the mitzvah of Milchama and they pass the Tchum Shabbos, and the Mishnah allows them to come back up to 2,000 Amah, but not more. Our Mishnah allows them to come even more than 2,000 Amah. So Rav Nachman says, Khan, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that gives them the limit of Alpayim Amah, that's a scenario in which Shenitzchu Yisrael as Umos HaOlam, the Jewish people have defeated the nations of the world, and at that point we're no longer afraid. We don't suspect the possibility that the nations will turn around and attack them again. They've been defeated, and therefore there's no pressing need to be matir more than 2,000 Amah. But Khan in our Mishnah, Shenitzku Umos HaOlam Es Atzman, which is a euphemism for saying that the nations of the world have defeated us, and therefore we have a real serious suspicion that since we lost one battle, we might have to face another battle. They'll come back and again attack us. And the Chachamim therefore instituted a heter to go back all the way to the city as fugitives and get the protection of the city, even if it's far, far away. Even if it's way beyond the Alpayim Amah, the 2,000 Amah, the Tchum Shabbos. The Rosh actually paskins that we should accept Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak because he's what's called a Basra, he's the last here. And like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Marav that we learned in the Brisa, meaning that was supported by the Brisa. And the Gemara now offers various numbers of dinim, additional dinim, that apply to the case of Goyim who are fighting against Klal Yisrael in a battle on Shabbos. Om Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Nochrim Shetzaru Alayoros Yisrael. If the nations of the world will put a siege on cities in Israel, Ein Yotzin, we don't go out. Klal Yisrael shouldn't go out. L'melchom aleihem b'klei Zion, with their weapons. V'ein mechalin aleihem es haShabbos. We don't violate the Shabbos. So it seems, at first glance, that the intention here of Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel Amarav is that we don't go to battle on Shabbos with these against these adversaries with our weapons, because it would entail chilul Shabbos. However, the Netziv, in his Merome Sada, claims that there's a split here between two different dinim. One is that we shouldn't go out to battle with them with weapons, even during the week. And it has nothing to do with Shabbos, per se, but rather it's an Issa to be Moser Nefesh on this Milchama. And number two is a Shabbos halach that would not machal Shabbos in this case of a siege. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have another braisa to support this. Nochrim Shetzaru al Ayoros Yisrael, Ein Yotzim Aleim B'Kli Zainon, V'Ein Machal Nes HaShabbos V'Medvar Memurim K'Shebo Al Iskei Momon. And this is the case that the Goyim are ready to initiate an attack against us for money. In other words, they want to get the booty. Aval Boal Iskei Nefashos, if they want to just destroy us, Yotzim Aleihem B'Kli Zayin, we go out with our weapons, Mechalan Aleinus HaShabbos, this is a case of a Melchemes Mitzvah. U'Be'ir HaSmucha L'Sfar, with regard to cities that are on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, the outer boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, And those are the cities that really separate between the cities of Israel and the cities of the Goyim. They're on the forefront, out there at the boundary, as we said. Afilu lo bo al iskei nefash al iskei teven v'kash yotzen alem v'chli zeinon mechal l'neis ha-shabbos. In the case of a border city, then we have to go out to battle against them, and that battle is not limited to iskei nefashos. Even the enemies are coming to take over our supplies of teven and kash. I mean, these are straw, these are relatively worthless items, but nevertheless, why should we go out to battle with them in our full force, even to violate the Shabbos? Because we have to be choshesh that maybe the goyim, in order to take over the teven and kash, they may simply capture the city, and it's a border city. Once the goyim capture a border city, that could be a jumping point for the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It'll be easy, relatively easy for them to conquer the land. So this is very dangerous. We have to put up a stand in all situations against the enemies who are attacking us on the border cities. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Miniyomi, Amar Rav Nachman, Ubechol. In other words, there's a Ube Bavel, there's a city in Bavel. Ki'ira hasmucha l'sfar domya, which has the same din as one of those border cities in Eretz Yisrael, and we can violate the Shabbos, even though the goyim are only coming aliskei mamon, they want just teven. V'tirgum n'arda, and this is a city called n'arda, which on one side was located close to where the goyim lived, and on the other side, to the cities where the Jews lived, it's a, so to speak, a borderline city between the Goyim and the Jews. Dorash Rav Dostoy, Rabbi Dostoy. This is being brought as a proof that a city on the borderline is Mechalin Alessa Shabbos. Demin Biri, Rav Dostoy, came from a city called Biri. Maidersiv, what does the pasuk mean in Shmuel? What's it teaching us? Vayagidu leDavid leMar hine Flishtim nilchamim bekeila. So David gets the word that the Plishtim are fighting against us in a place called Keila. VeHema shosim es hageronos. They are plundering our goron is a place where we do our threshing. Uksiv, and the next pasuk says, "Vayishal David b'Hashem lemor, ha'ilech v'ikesi b'plishtim ha'ela, v'yomer Hashem el David, lech v'ikesi b'plishtim, v'oshata es ki'ila." Go out to battle against the plishtim and save the city of ki'ila. Now, what it means that David asked the question through the Urim V'Tumim, and David, as a result, got the answer. He went out to battle against the Plishtim, and he was willing to sacrifice his life simply to save the city of Keila. Again, even though this was a case where the enemy, the Plishtim, came for iskei mamon, but nevertheless, it was a city that was close to the border. So we see here clearly that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order to fight against the Goyim who are coming on a borderline city, even if they're only coming for iskei mamon. Maikomi Boile, what was David's suffix that he had to ask the Urim V'Tumim? Ilemi's suffix was Ishori I Asur, whether he's allowed to fight this battle on Shabbos or not. In a case where the Plishtim are only interested in iskei teven v'kash, if that be the case, why do you have to ask Urim V'Tumim? Arei Beis Din Shel Shmuel Arasi Kayim. right, David overlaps with the Beis Din of Shmuel, and he should have gone to ask this question as a halachic shaila. I mean, Urim v'Tumim is something for Isa v'Heta. Ela, but rather, E Matzlech Ilo Matzlech. He wanted to know, would this be a successful campaign? Daiki Nami. And we could really see this in the Pasuk, the Siv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Lech v'kisa v'plishtim v'oshata es ki'ilo. It means be victorious against the Plishtim and salvage and save the city of Ki'ila and all their inhabitants. Shema Minah, we see clearly that this must have been his question. Would he succeed in battle or not? And this leads us up to the Mishnah here on Daf Memheim and Aleph, Mishi Yosha Bedera. The Mishnah addresses the question of a person that was Shoves Chutz Le'ir, but within the Tchum of Alpayim Amma, but he doesn't know that he's close to the city. Mishi Yosha Baderech B'Erev Shabbos Somach L'Shkiya Sachama V'lo Yoda Shu Karov Le'ir B'Tocha Tchum U'Lefichach Lo Niskaven Liknos Shvisoso B'Tocha. Had he been aware of the fact that he was so close to the city on Erev Shabbos, then he would have had in mind, he would have intended to establish his Shvisa in the city itself. Now, normally when a person is within the Tchum of the city, he has Kavana to be Shoves in the city, and for that halachic category, it's like he's one of the people who lives in the city for all dinim, and therefore he could go from the outskirts of the city a full 2,000 amma around the city limits in every direction. But here, he's not within the bounds of the city, and he doesn't realize that he's so close to the city. He didn't have in mind kavanat v'kona shvisa in the city. The Amad Vera, after it got dark, he stood up and he saw Sharehu Samach Le'ir. He realizes now, but it's already Shabbos, that he's within 2,000 amas of the Tchum of the city. And the Mishnah says that Hoil Velo Hoisa Kavanos Lekach, he didn't have Kavana to be Konesh Vis in the city, Lo Yikones. Notice he's not considered like one of the members of the city who's permitted to go throughout the entire city plus 2,000 amma around the city. But rather, he was Kona Shvisa wherever he was in his makom. He can go from there 2,000 amma in each direction. And even if he ends, you know, the end of the 2,000 amma leads him to the middle of the city, but he's not allowed to go beyond that. He doesn't have the entire city as his tchum. And all this is Direi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yikones. Rabbi Yehuda says that since had he known that he was so close to the city, he would have been Konesh Visa together with the members of the city, but not in his place where he is outside the city. Therefore, he has the din of one of the Bnei Ha'ir, he's allowed to go into the city, and he has the same din as if he was Shoves in the city. As if he had Kavana to be Shoves inside the city, and all this is based on theoretical knowledge, meaning Ilu Hayyodea. Now, there's a comment here in the name of Rabbi Yonasan that our Mishnah is talking about a case where this person said, Shvisisi Vimkomi. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even in a case where he made that declaration of Shvisisi Vimkomi, nevertheless, he's not uprooted, so to speak, from the Shvis in the city, because this was called an Amira Betos. And, you know, he was unaware of the reality of where he was, and that's why he made that declaration. The Rashba quotes the Ravid, however, that says that if he said explicitly, verbally, that Teheshvi Sisi Bimkomi, then even Rabbi Yehuda's Moda, then in this case he was Oker Shvisa from the city, he was Kona Shvisa Bimkomo. And let's finish up the Mishnah. The Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah wants to bring a Raya from a Maisa with Rabbi Tarfon, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Maisaya, Venichnas Rabbi Tarfon below Miskavin. That Rabbi Tarfon was Shoves outside the city. He didn't know that he was so close within the Tchum of the city, and therefore he never had Kavanah to be Kona Shvisa in the city, but rather in the place where he is. But once he found out, he's allowed to go into the city as if he was Shoves in the city. The Gemara now brings a Braisa that further embellishes the story of Rabbi Tarfon. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa, Rabbi Tarfon, Shoye Mahalach Baderech. Rabbi Tarfon was on the way, on the road. V'choshvalo, it now became dark. The sun set on Erev Shabbos, V'lon Chutz La'ir, and he was outside the city limits, and he didn't realize that he was within the tchum of the city. L'shachris, the next morning, Matza'u Roe Bakar, he was discovered by some shepherds, Amr La Rebbe, Harei Ha'ir L'fanecha, Hikanes, why don't you go into the city, it's right here. And Nichnas, Rabbi Tarfon, La'ir, V'yosh Beis HaMesh, V'darash Kol Yom Kulo, and the entire day of Shabbos, he gave drushes. Amru Lo, they told Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, you want to bring a proof to your Shita from that? Shema Belibo, Haisa, maybe in his heart, Rabbi Tarfon had a machshava to be Konish Vis in the city. In other words, he knew that there was a city close Tis Makom Shvisa within 2,000 Amma. Or alternatively, perhaps, in the Beis Medrash in the city, was actually Muvla B'toch Tchumo Haya. Maybe the Beis Medrash that he went to within the city was within the 2,000 Amma from his Makom Shvisa. And that's why Rabbi Tarfon was certainly allowed to go in there. But he never had Kavana to be Kona Shvisa in the city, and he never was Kona Shvisa in the city. Now the Mishnah that we're learning now addresses the case of a person who sleeps on the road on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShvashos, and once again he didn't have Kavana to be Kona Shvisa in his Makom. Misha Yoshan Baderef V'lo Yoda Shechashecha, he didn't know that it's dark out, and therefore, you know, mentally, he did not have, shall we say, kavana to be kona shvisa mimkomo. Nevertheless, yesh lo prime amal chol ruach divrei Rabbi Yochim and Nuri. He was kona shvisa mimkomo, and he gets 2,000 amma in every direction. And chachom omrim lo kona shvisa. Ein lo ela arba amos lechol ruach. And the chachom will give him, you know, a last prize here, so to speak, and they'll allow him a tchum of shmon amos, of 8 amos, and he's in the middle of the 8 amos. You can go 4 amos in each direction. So that's because Chachom put all the emphasis on his yedia to be kona shvisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he certainly has 4 amos, v'hu b'emtzon, which means that he can't go 4 amos both to the east and to the west, which would be Shmona Amos all told, but rather we give him the Tchum of 4 Amos on 4 Amos. And we consider him as if he's right in the middle, so therefore he only has a Rishus to go 2 Amos in each direction. And now, we'll take a look at the rest of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eliezer Ruach Sheir Tzeyelech. In other words, he has a tchum of 4 amos on 4 amos, but we're not going to judge him as if he's in the middle, such that he can't go more than 2 amos in each direction, but rather he can choose whichever tzad, whichever direction he wants to go to, and he gets four amos in that direction. Umoda Rabbi Yehuda concedes to Rabbi Eliezer, she'im berer lo, if he chooses from the beginning to take two amos in each direction, or four amos in one particular direction, he cannot change his mind and then establish a different direction for his four amos. Let's just backtrack for a moment to the Chachamim here in our Mishnah, right? That's before Rabbi Eliezer yet. Ein lo el arba amos, in other words, he was sleeping, so he did not consciously acquire a 2,000 amma tchum for Shabbos, and therefore he's limited to four amos. Now it's interesting because we had a Gemara back on Daf Mem Gimel, and there the Gemara was talking about a case of a person who was in a boat at the onset of Shabbos, and it was above 10 tefachim. So at that point, you know, he's not eligible for tchum, but later on, he becomes eligible. He can acquire a residence later on. Here we're saying that since on the outset of Shabbos he was sleeping, therefore he did not acquire a residence, and later on he cannot acquire a residence because it's already too late at Shabbos. But in the case of the boat, if at the outset of Shabbos he did not acquire a residence, he was in a boat above 10 tefachim, then he does acquire residence later on when he becomes eligible. And the Ritva points out that here is different because the person himself was ineligible at the start of Shabbos. In the case of the boat, the person was eligible, just he was in the wrong makom. That's a din lechefts of the makom, but as far as the gavra is concerned, he could acquire residence and be shoves for his tchum of Shabbos. But in the case of somebody who's sleeping, he's not eligible at the start of Shabbos. He cannot become eligible for residence during Shabbos itself. Hayushnaim, the Mishnah says, what would be in this case where he's limited to a four amma area, and there were two people, each one was restricted to a four amma area, either because they were asleep at the start of Shabbos, maybe they were outside of their tchum, and they had no rishus to be there outside the tchum. Is miktsas amosav shel zeh betoch amosav shel zeh? If some of the amos of one of these two people overlaps with some of the amos of the other one, mivim v'ochlin b'emtza, they can bring their food, they can eat it in the middle, in that area that's overlapping. I mean, you wonder what the chiddush is. Why would we say that that's not okay? He says, "Bofen sha'amdu shnei biyodim sheyoshin mechutz le'ir ve'ev Shabbos ve'eshmin yesh lo lechavim tchum arba amos." Miktas mi arba amos shel zeh muvlos betoch arba amos shel zeh k'tgon beofen she'omdu b'merchak sheish amos zeh mizeh. Okay, they did the distancing. That's fine. Six amos. And between them, there are two amos. And they overlap on those two amos. Each one has a different four amos, but that doesn't overlap. So we could bring food, and they could eat it right there in the middle, in that common shteamos mishutafos. Let's turn now to Daf Mem Hamid Beis. Ubilvad shelo yotzi zeh mitoch shelo letoch shel chavero. Now, as far as his objects is concerned, then one of them is not allowed to take his objects, his pas or other objects, from his Arba Amos into the two Amos of his friend, those two Amos that overlap, because that's already Chutz L'Tchumo. And we said that Chafotzim Shal Adam Heim Kiraglov Ein Rishay Lotziim Chutz L'Tchumo. So in this last case, one second. Right, so we have the overlap. They can bring the food and eat in the middle in the overlapping area. That's fine. But provided that one does not carry anything that belongs to him, mitok shelo, litok shel chavero, from his four amos into his friend's four amos. In other words, he has a tchum now, each one has a tchum of four amos. He can't, the belongings cannot go beyond four amos. Because just like he's restricted to four amos, so too his belongings are restricted to arba amos. But as far as within the overlap, is then they can eat in the middle area that overlaps both of their tchums. But the Mishnah wants to be careful, make sure that he doesn't carry anything into his friend's four amos. I'm wondering what he means by his friend's four amos. Are these four amos that he has no rights to? I mean, after all, we said that they overlap in the middle here, and they're allowed to join forces and eat together in that middle area. So what's the... Well, this Mishnah is not referring to the area that is overlap, you know, those two amos, but for each one of, let's call Reuven and Shimon, each one beyond the four amos, he's not allowed to take any object, because he only has the tchum of four amos. And just like he's not allowed to walk beyond the four amos, he's not allowed to put his chafotzim beyond four amos. But again, as far as the two amos that they overlap, that would certainly be muta for both of them. Like the case that we had before, that they're eating a meal together in the middle. Okay, now we have another psak of the Mishnah with regard to this four amos limited area. Hayu shlosha, there are three people. Two of them are on the outside, and they are far away from each other by, let's say, eight amos, by emtzai. And now he has a third person who is muvla beinayim. He's standing in that area which is between the two of them at the four amos mark. So now he has two amos in partnership that overlap with each one of the other two people. Is hu mutar imahem, v'heim mutarim imo, u'shnayim achitzonim asurim zeim zeh. So what are the psaks here in this case of the Mishnah? He says hu mutar, the middle fellow, is allowed to be mishtamish with each one of them, as far as the shtei amos that overlap both of them, right? So we'll call him Shimon, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Shimon has a two amos, overlap with both Reuven on one side and then Levi on the other side. So certainly Shimon is allowed to carry in those two amos that are Muvlo Simoy. Now, what about the flip side? Hein mutarim lishtamish imo bi'osan shtei amos. Okay, that's exactly what we know until now. Shnayim achitzonim asurim zeim zeh. Right, there's no overlap at all between Reuven and Levi. Because, as we said before, there were eight amos distance between Reuven and Levi. But as far as Shimon is concerned, he's got a two amma overlap with both Reuven and with Levi. That's Shimon's situation. Om Rabbi Shimon Lamad, Dover Domeh. to what can we compare this Shalosh Chatzeros Hapsuchos Zu Lezu? So you've got three courtyards that open up one to the other. So there's an opening between the first and the second, and between the second and the third. Upsuchos and the Chatzeros are open Lirshus Harab. So each one of them has a Pesach Bifnei Atzmo Lirshus Harab. And Ervu, they made an Erv Chatzeros, Shtayim, Imhaim Tzois. The two extremes with the one in the middle. But Lo Irvu Hachitzonos Zuim Zu. So unfortunately, although the gravitational pull was towards the center, but they have to make an Erev Chatzeros Zuim Zu. Now we're talking about Erev Chatzeros, mind you. So if they did an Erev Chatzeros, then the two outer ones with the middle one, that's one Erev Chatzeros, but they never did an Erev with the other Chitzona. Is he Muteres Imahem? Vehein Muteres Imah. The two outer ones, we call them Ruvain, can share an Eruv with Shimon, and Shimon could share an Eruv. No, I'm saying as a result of the two Eruvin now, Shimon could carry either in Ruvain's Chatzer or in Levi's Chatzer. But Hain Mutaros Ima Ushtaim Achitzonos Asuros Zo Im Zo. So now we have a case where you have three Chatzeros and they're open to Rishus Harabin. Now those who live in each chatzer make an Eruv to allow carrying from the houses into their chatzer. They did not make a joint Eruv amongst the three chatzeros to allow carrying from a house in one chatzer to one in two chatzeros. So if the two outer chatzeros each joined in an Eruv with the middle chatzer, then the middle chatzer is permitted with them, meaning with the outer chatzeros, v'heim mutaras imam. And the residents of the outer chatzer are permitted with it to carry from the homes into the middle of the chatzer. Now, with regard to this last halacha in the Mishnah, about Shtayim Achitzonos Asuros Zoim Zo, because there's no overlap between the first Chatzer and the third. There's a kasha here. And the kasha is, since the chitzonios, right, we'll call them Reuven and Levi, they left their Eruv close to the Emtzoyes, to Shimon, they should all be considered like one chatzer. And we're not sure why the outer chatzeros should be Asuros Zu al Zu. So the Gemara is going to touch on this on Daf Mem Ches, and the answer is that Ein Medubar the ofen she nichu achitzona eruv etzlam tzoyis elini he nichu em tzoyis eruv etzl kol echad vechad min achitzonios. So the case is where the eruv of Shimon in the middle was left with Reuven, and there was another eruv that he left with Levi. But there's no one eruv that combines all of them, because the Chitzonis never did an eruv for the Emtzois. Had he done so, and then both this Chitzona and that Chitzona did an eruv with the Emtzois, then it would be Nidon as one Chatzer. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara now. And the Gemara says, fine, boy, Rava. Now, in our Mishnah, the tchum of four amos of the two chitzonios, since it overlaps with the tchum of the emtsoi, therefore both chitzonios could join in using the shtei amos that are common to both of them. Okay, just wanted to review that. So Micah Sover of Yochanan ben Nuri. So now we want to know, what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hold, and what is his svara when he says that Misha Yoshein Bederech Velo Yoda Shechesh Yesh Lo Apayim Amalchol Ruach, if he doesn't know that he has a city? Right, let's just go over this one more time. He doesn't know that he has a city very close within his tchum, so he didn't have kavanah v'kona shvisa. Then he has a tchum of alpayim amo from the place that he is, right? Who omeid samach leir hovlo hoisa kavanos lekach lo yikones. Now he's not considered one of the bnei ha'ir to get the full benefit of the whole city plus 2,000 amo outside the city. Rather, he's konesh visa in his place, and he can only go 2,000 amma from that point. So what's the suffix now of Rava? He says, Mizbar kasavar, does Rabbi Yochanan hold Cheftze Hefker Konim Shvisa? And that which he doesn't own, it's ownerless, is konesh shvisa b'mokom shebohem omdi b'knisas ha-shabbos af she'en lem bailim hamachavnim le'haknos lehem shvisa zu. Is there sort of an automatic konesh shvisa on the part of the kelim if there's no bailim? In other words, we would have said intuitively that it's only the Bailim who are Kona Shvisa for the Kalim that they own, but here it's an ownerless Kli. So now what happens if somebody would be Zoche on Shabbos in the Kli? He would be limited to 2,000 Amma in each direction. And that would apply even if he himself had left an Eruv on one of the Tzadim. But as far as the Keli is concerned, he would not have the benefit of that Eruv, because going into Shabbos, since he didn't own that Kli, therefore the Kli can only be Kona Shvisa wherever it is entering into Shabbos. So if Yochanan holds that when a person sleeps
and he doesn't have kavanah to be kohen shvisa, he has the same status, the same din as Chefzei Hefker, and therefore he's kohen shvisa b'mkomo without any kavanah for that. Ubedinu de liflog bekelim. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri could have argued against Chachamim even with regard to kelim shel hefker, which would mean that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that these kelim of hefker kodesh visavim komom to get 2,000 amah in every direction, whereas according to Chachamim they're not kodesh visa, but rather they're nigrorim, they are schlepped along by the zocha behem b'shabbos. And in the case of kelim she'ein konim shvisa b'erev Shabbos, that's not like the din of an adam she'ein kosher shvisa. Adam, if he's not konim shvisa of alpaim amma b'erev Shabbos, he has a shvisa of arba amos, but not beyond. In the case of kelim that weren't konim shvisa, the person who acquires ownership of them is allowed to walk with them kifi hiluch raglov. That's according to the Chachamim. So the tchum of the kelim depends upon the person who's zochen the kelim. Now, if the Mishnah had presented the Machlokas in that context regarding Kalim, then Mimela, as a result, logically we would have deduced that they have a Machlokas even Lagabi Adam Yoshein, because he has the same din as a Chefetz Shel Hefker. So if you ask me, why did they formulate the Machlokas in terms of Adam, not in terms of Kalim? For Hadam Ifkli Be Adam, the lo bekelim kidei lo k'diacha kochan dirabana. The afagav de ikal emeimar hoil v'neir kana is therefore yoshein nami kana kamashma de lo. That the hamina would have been that even the chacham would agree that cheftzei hefker are not kona shvisa b'chol makom. But nevertheless, there would be more than an Adam Yoshin is Kodesh Shvisa Mimkomo, because if he'd be Neir, if he'd be awake, he'd be Kodesh Shvisa. And therefore Yoshin also would be Kodesh Shvisa. Kamashwa, the Mishnah wants to tell us that that's not so. And even in the case of an Adam Yoshin, we're not going to treat him like Neir, for the Chacham are going to reject Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and they hold that he's not Kodesh Shvisa. So far, the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim is both with regard to Chefzei Hefker and with regard to an Adam Yoshein. Oh, Dilmana, here's the second side in Rabbi Sofek. The Kasavar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, be Alma, in general, Chefzei Hefker ain konim shvisa, bimkomon. And in that sense, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would agree with the Chachamim, but Hacha, here with regard to Adam Yoshein, Hainu Taima, here's the reason why he could be Konesh Shvisa, and that's because Hoel V'Neor Kana, meaning Konesh Shvisa M'Komo, and therefore Adam Yoshein Nami Kana. Let's just review the two tzadim in the Safek of Rava. Rava wants to know whether or not, according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, the status of Adam and the status of Chafatzim are the same. And when I spoke about Adam, I'm talking about Adam Yoshein. So in both cases, there's no awareness of being Kone
Makom Shvisa, in the case of an older because he's sleeping. In the case of Chefzei Hefker, it's because they're ownerless. So there's no one who's actively, consciously acquiring a tchum for them. And if that be the case, then Rabbi Yochanan, both in Yashin and in Chefzei Hefker, would say that they're Konish Shvisa, they get 2,000 amas, as opposed to being limited, as the Rabbana would, to 4 amos. Then, as a almost somewhat parenthetical insert, Rava says, if you'll go with my first tzad, and we have an equation between Chefzei Hefker and Yoshein, then it would have made more sense, L'chora, that's what he's asking, to formulate the machlokas in the Mishnah in terms of Chefzei Hefker. And the machlokas would be more clear in the case of Chefzei Hefker than that of Yoshein, because in the case of Yoshein, there are other ways of explaining the machlokas. Anyway, the answer to this question Rabbi gives is that lo diach hakochen derabbanon, that you might think that the Rabbanon should be moda that a Yoshein is kona shvisa, because he can simply wake up in a second from his sleep, and then he's capable of being kona shvisa. And the second side in Rav is to say no, that even Rabbi Yochanan would agree in the case of Chefzei Hefker that they are not kona shvisa. And the exception to that rule is going to be Yoshein, because the possibility that near, if he would wake up, he would be able to acquire a kinyan shvisa. Omar Rav Yosef. So the Gemara now wants to prove that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri holds that in the case of Chefzei Hefker, just like in the case of Yoshein, they do acquire a shvisa with a fixed tchum, toshma, because of a brisa that says gishamim sheyardu me'erev yontif. So you have rain that fell before yontif. The water was hefker when yontif began. Yesh lehem alpayim amah l'chol ruach. They get a fixed tchum of 2,000 amah in each direction. And the reason for that is because Chefzei Shomayim, I'm sorry, Chefzei Hefker, are Kona Shvisa. Now it's interesting that the Braisa formulates the din of Yontif, not Shabbos. Probably because with regard to Kalim, Chefzei Hefker, there's no discussion on Shabbos, because he can't carry anything in the Tchum because of the fact that we're in a Rishus HaRab, can't go Dalet Amos Rishus HaRab. So that's why the Braisa formulates this din of Gshamim Shiar Demer of Yontif. They have a Tchul. Now, the Yontif, they fell on Yontif itself, Harein Kiragle Kol Adam, which means anyone who's Kone and makes an acquisition over this Mayim, he will determine the Tchum for the Mayim, for the Meg Shom. Anyway, one thing is clear from this Braisa, that ownerless objects do acquire Shvisa, Mokum Shvisa. And that will limit them to that Tchum. So that's the first case. In the second case, when the rains fell on Yontif, and since there was no Kinyan Shvisa on Erev Yontif, it no longer could acquire a Shvisa on Yontif, and therefore, in the absence of any Shvisa, it now becomes subject to the Tchum of the eventual owner. So Rav Yosef says, Iyamet Bishleim Kosov Rav Yochanan Nuri Hefker Konim Shvisa. Hefzei Hefker Konim Shvisa. Hamani, then we could attribute this price to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, because the Tana here rules in this Braisa that rainwater, which is ownerless,
acquires the tchum, the knisas haShabbos. So Rabbi Yochanan, this brisa is authored by Rabbi Yochanan Nuri El Iyam, and if you're going to say Cheftei Hefker Ein Konin Shvisa, that ownerless objects do not acquire Shvisa, then we're in trouble here, because Hamani Lo Rabbi Yochanan Velo Rabbanan. Who's this Tana who says that this rain that's ownerless acquires a tchum? It's neither Rabbi Yochanan Nuri nor Rabbanan, because both Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Rabbanan agree now that Cheftei Hefker Einom Konim Shvisa. And therefore Rabbi Yossi wants to prove from here that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri certainly holds a Cheftei Hefker or Konim Shvisa. Yosef Abaye, the Ka'omale Lahash Maitata, Abaye was going over this sugya with Rav Yosef, who's trying to be poshet from this price. Omale Rav Safal Abaye, the Dilma, perhaps Kishomim Asmuchim Le'iras Kinan, so the rains fell right near the city, and Ansheosa Ir Daitam Alayu, the members, the residents of the city, have thoughts, you know, they have intentions with regard to these gishamim. They want to acquire ownership on these gishamim, and therefore their konish visa, in just like the Mokomanche ear. In other words, we can't prove anything from here about Cheftei Hefker, but the Konish Visa not, because here is a case where the Bnei Ha'ir, they will be Konish Visa on behalf of the Kelim. Again, even though right now it's Hefker, that's why we have to fill in that missing piece over here, because the Gshomim going into Shabbos were Hefker. Omalei Sabai responds to Rav Safra, Lo Salka Daito. This is not a good Havamina. In other words, that the reason that the Kalim have Alpayim Amma in each direction is because the Das of Anshe Ha'ir. You're going to have to say that Cheftei Shamayim, I keep saying Cheftei Shamayim, I mean Cheftei Hefker, are Konim Shvisa Bimkomam. Because we have a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. This nan, we have a Mishnah in Beitza, at the end of Beitza it says, Bar Shel Yochid Kiragle Yochid Vishal Osa Ir Kiragle Osa Ir El Shel Oli Bavel Kiragle Yamamale. So if a person owns his own private well, a bar, then the status of the water in the bar is Kiragle Yochid. So if he took from this bar on Shabbos, then he's allowed to bring it only to the places where the Baal is allowed to bring it. And if it's the bar that's owned by the city, by the municipality, then Kiragle Osa'ir. In other words, you're allowed to take the water in the entire city and then give yourself another Alpai Mama outside the city. But if Irev Echad Miansha Ir Lemizach Olamarov Eino Rashoy Lolicham Imo. When he says Eino Rashoy Lolicham Imo, he means that since this bar is owned by the city, by the municipality, and we've already set up a din of Erev Tchumen of Alpayim Am Lechol Ruach, and the fact that individual members of the ear set up their own Eruv, that's not relevant to this, to the waters in the bar. Because what we're saying here is that there's like a Bailus Tzibur here, and there's no individual Bailus on the bar. The Rashba here asks Akasha that we have halacha, a principle that in Dini Drabonin Yesh Brera. So why don't we assume that if one of the Bnei Ha'ir will be make a zchiyah on the Mea Bar, which he has rights to do apparently, and then he gets a full-fledged Kinyan Yochid, then it's Bar HaDover. Now we know that on that Bein HaShmoshos, the Tchum of this Mayim would reflect the Tchum of this person who filled up the water and took the water and was Zoch in it. And therefore it should be, you should be mutter to take it any place where this person is allowed to go, if he made an Erev in this direction, that direction, etc. So that's a kasha of the Rashba. But anyway, so a bar hefker now is, let's say, omed baderech, it's on the road, and it's designated for the use of the Olei Bavel, who are olim from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and so these are Ovrei Drachim. They go in the middle of the road, and the Bnei Agola are making it as if they, those Olei Bavel, can acquire ownership and drink the water under their own bilus. So in such a case, the din of the mayim is kiragle hamemale, and the water gets the parameters of the person who fills up with the water. And if he gives it over to someone else, that other person is not permitted to be molech the mayim beyond the makom that the mamale himself is allowed to go. In any event, we see clearly from this Mishnah that Heftze Hefker Einom Konim Shvisa Bimkoman. And that's why the water in the bar of the Olei Bavel Onim Shochem Acharagli HaMamalim. Okay then, so that's what we said, that if, let's just go over the principle one more time, that if Heftze Hefker Einom Konim Shvisa Bimkoman, then whoever will acquire ownership on this Heftze Hefker during the course of Shabbos, the chefetz would be, its parameters of tchum will be determined by the person who was kone. That's the Mishnah at the end of Beitza. Now, Vesanya, but on the other hand, we have a braisa that says, bar shel shvatim, which means the bar of the Olei Bavel, have alpayim amal chol ruach, which means they were kone shvisavim komon, and they don't have the status of kiragle amamale. Is Kashon Adodi? Do we not have a stira here between a mission and a braisa? Elav Shmamino. Therefore, shouldn't we derive from this that the braisa holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which means that Hefte Shemayim Akonim Shvisa, and that's why they have Alpayim Am L'chol Ruach, and they're not Konim Shvisa for the Ragli Amamale, and but the Mishnah reflects the sheet of the Chachamim that Heftze Hefker Einom Konim Shvisa, and therefore the Mayim is Kiragli Amamale. So this is Abai's answer to Rav Safra, that since we find the Machlokas Tanoim with regard to the Heftze Hefker, whether Konim Shvisa or not, we should therefore say that the Brisa that was brought earlier about Gshomim, the Gshomim of Hefker fell on Erev Yontif, that's not a case of gshamim that smuchim le'ir, but rather it reflects the shita of Yochanan ben Nuri, who holds a chefte hefker konim shvisa b'mkomon. So when we had before Amalei Rav Safra l'Abaye v'dilma v'gshama smuchim le'ir askinon, that perhaps the Braisa is talking about a case of Geshamim that are close to the city, and Anshel Seir Daite Alayu, right, the members of the city have an interest in being Zoche in these waters because they're so close to the city, and therefore the Mayim is Konim Shvisa Ka Anshel Seir. And therefore, you don't want to prove from this braisa, says Rav Safra, anything about Heftze Hefker, whether Konish Shvisa or not, is the case of Smuchim Le'ir.
But Abai now responds to Rav Safra that after we reconcile the Braisa and the not the Braisa of Gshomin, but the Braisa of Barshal Shvatim, etc., with the Mishnah at the end of Beitza of Barshal Yochid, etc., and we have two Shitos here reflecting the machlokas between Rav Yochanan Nuri and the Chachamim, so then we should assume that the Braisa itself, with regard to Gshamim, forget about Gshom HaSmuch Le'ir, but rather just say it simply reflects the Shita of Rav Yochanan Nuri. That seems the simplest way of going. The Cheftayef Kirkonim Shvisavim Koman. And that's what the Braisa meant with regard to Gshamim Shiodim Yav Yontif, Yeshlem Apai Mama L'chol Ruach. So why should you be dochek and introduce a new variable, a new ukimta into that price that we're talking about smuchim le'ir and anshei osia daitan la? You don't need that. Just cut that out. So kiyosa lekami derav Yosef, when Abai came in front of Rav Yosef, Omar le Abai said to Rav Yosef, Hochi ka Omar of Safra. This is what Rav Safra said to reject, to deflect the raya, the holchacha, from the brayse of Gshamim, Shodimer Yontif, and interpret it as referring to Gshamim Asmuchim Le'ir, V'achya Hajule. And this is what I responded to him. And I said that that's not a valid dechia of the brayse. We already have Machlokas Tanoim in a different context, or I should say in difference in other sources, with regard to Chavtzei Efker of Konim Shvisa or not. So why not just assume that the Brice of Gisham Shiro Demer of Yontif reflects the sheet of that Tana, in this case Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who holds that that Chavtzei Efker Akona Shvisa. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef responds to Abai, Amailo Temele Migufa. Why didn't you say to Rav Safra that from the text of the Braisa itself, the goof of the Braisa, that you can prove that we're not talking about a case of Gshomim Asmuchim Le'ir? Why? The Isakadakim Gshomim Asmuchim Le'ir Askinon is high. Why does the Braisa say Yeshlem Alpayim Amalachol Ruach? It should have said, it should say, quote, Kiragli Anshe Osa'ir Mi Boile. The language of Yeshlem Alpayim Amo is only appropriate for those who for situations in which you konish shvicha machmas atzman. In this case of Gshom Masmuchim Le'ir, the way Rav Safra interpreted the Braisa, then the shvisa is a result of the bnei ha'ir, and therefore the language appropriate would have been kiragli anshei osa'ir. So we have no choice but to assume that the Braisa is not talking about Gshom Masmuchim Le'ir, but rather Gshom Shel Hefker, and reflects the shita of Yochanan ben Nuri, that Cheftzei Efker Kodem Shvisim Koma, just as you, Abai, said. But you didn't have to stretch your arm out, so, all right, it's Machlokas Tanoim, let's interpret it this way. Why don't you just read the Braisa clearly? And the language of the Braisa indicates that we're talking about Gshom Mayoradim, Gshom Shel Hefker Ayoradim Yontif. Now the Gemara wants to clarify the Braisa that says Gshom Mayoradim Yontif Areim Keragli Kol Odom. Omar Mar Biyontif, right? Gshom Mayoradim Yontif Areim Keragli Kol Odom Hamimalam, which means that they weren't Konas Shvisa on Erev Yontif, and therefore the Nigrar Basar, the person who's Mimali, and he's Zochen Amayim. So this Braisa was quoted in the middle of the Amud. You could find it if you draw a straight line from Tosas Diramaska Liknu. And we're talking about Gshomim Sheyardu Biyontif. And we said that it's Karagli Kol Odom Hamamalam, because there was no Kinyan Shvisa on Erev Yontif. They were up in the sky, in the clouds. Is Vamai, the Gemara wants to know, why does the din of these Gshomim, Kiragli Kolodim, Likne Shvisa Be'okainos? They should be Kona Shvisa Be'na Shmosh, entering the Shabbos, as if they were out in the Yam Okainus, because Meg Shomim from the Yam Heim Boim, they come from the Yam. Okay, we have to know that has to do with the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, as we'll see later on, but in any event, Meg Shomim Heim Minayam Heim Boim. So Nimtza Shali Akash Kanu Shvisa Yotsu Mitchuman Umiata Ein Litaltel Ela Arba Amos Bilvad. Try to understand the logic of the Gemara. The rainwater should have acquired residence in the ocean where it was at the start of Yontif. And since it is now outside its tchum, it should be restricted to 4 amos. The Gemara is assuming now that the water was in the ocean at the start of Yontif, and only later it evaporated into the clouds. It acquired its residence in the ocean. Even if we assume, like that Shita, that tchum laws do not apply above the height of 10 tfachim, it's one body of water. We consider all the water, even the water which is above 10 tefachim from the ocean floor, as resting on the ocean floor, and acquires its residence there on the outset of Shabbos. Lema, shall we assume, the low ki Rabbi Eliezer. This is against Rabbi Eliezer. The ik Rabbi Eliezer, ha'omar, Rabbi Eliezer holds in the Sechta Tainus, taf tes kol olam kulo, mimeo kainus hu shose, that the entire world drinks the waters of the ocean, which evaporate and then fall as rain. And he derives this from the pasuk, v'ed ya'aleh min ha'aretz v'hishkas kol p'nei ha'adama, a mist ascended from the earth and watered the whole surface of the soil. Rabbi Shua actually disagrees. He has a different explanation in Tainus, but we're going now according to Rabbi Eliezer in Tainus. Kol olam kulo bimei okainus hu shose, and the waters of the ocean evaporate and then fall as rain. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the rain which falls on Yontif or on Shabbos should be limited to 4 amos, because they are outside of the tchum. So my answer is, Rabbi Yitzchak, Hacha bi'ovim shenis kashru me'erev yontif askinon, that the case that we're dealing with is with rain that fell from clouds that had already gathered before yontif. So the water in them had already evaporated from the ocean before Yontif began, and therefore wasn't these waters were not koneshvisa in the ocean, and they're now not beyond the tchum. And therefore, kshiyordim heim ba'aretz beyontif nigrarim achrei raglei hamamala. So we're now asked another kashva, dilma hanach azli v'hanach achrininu. Maybe the clouds that you're seeing now that are very thick on Erev Yontif, they dissipated to another place, and the Ananim now that are letting forth from which the rainfall is falling on Yontif, these are different clouds. Shenesvu mimeyem biyontif atzma, and they were collected from the waters that, let's say, we'll call it evaporated on Yontif itself. They were koneshvis on Erev Yontif in the Ukainas. And then they were taken chutz l'tchum when they were taken up to Shamayim, up to the clouds. So how can you say that you're allowed to move these waters, these rain waters on Yontif, more than Makomon? So the Gemara's question again is, maybe these clouds were in the sky before Yontif, those clouds moved away. These clouds from which the rain fell on Yontif are different clouds which formed on Yontif. And therefore we have to limit the rain to 4 amos, because the possibility that this water was in the ocean and was kodesh shvisa in the ocean at the start of Yontif. And the Gemara gives two answers. The first answer is the Islahu Simona Begavayu.
that we're the Bryce is talking about clouds that have a distinct formation, and therefore you can identify them as the ones that hung overhead before Yont. Iboy Seymour, Havi Sofik to Devrayim. Enochinami, I don't know whether or not these clouds were formed before Yontif or on Yontif, and that makes it into a Sofik to Rabbonim, a Sofik to Devrayim Lahakel. We can be makil and treat it leniently in a case of uncertainties regarding the Rabbonim's. So if it became overcast before Yontif, we have a right to assume mitzad Sofek that the rain which falls on Yontif is from those clouds.
So through this, by virtue of this principle of Sofek Devrayim Lahakel, we can establish that these Ananim were the Ananim that on Erev Yontif were Nesofim from the Okainus, from the oceans. It's not that they were replaced with other Ananim, and therefore they are not Kona Shvisa. And if they're not Kona Shvisa in the Okainus, because they're up in the clouds on Erev Yontif going into Yontif, therefore when they fall on Yontif, they could be Nigrar Achar Ragle Hamamalom. And we don't have to limit them to four amos. That's going to be the kula midivrayim, to assume that these ananim sheniskashu, these are the ananim sheniskashu mer vyontiv, and they were absorbed into the ananim on erev yontiv, and therefore they weren't kona shvisa in the okainus. Hence, they could be nigra acharabi hamimalom. Now the Gemara comes back and asks another kasha. Even if they weren't kona megisham shvisa in the Okainus, because they were already on Erev Yontif absorbed up in the clouds, but we still have to ask for liknei shvisa b'yovim. Maybe the mayim that are in the clouds should be kona shvisa b'toch ha'anonim. Again, I'm not sure about lamala me'asari here, but we'll see about that in a minute. In other words, if we assume that on Erev Yontif, Bein HaShmoshos, these waters were absorbed in the clouds, then when they fall to the land, to the ground on Yontif, they left their tchum. And therefore, once again, we should all be able to give them Arba Amos Bilvat. And the Vice allows the Holche, the Holicham L'Karagle Kolodah. That there's no din tchumin above asara, which we had a suffix about back on Daf Mem Gimel, and therefore the megshomim are not koveh shvisa in the anonim, because the anonim are above 10 tfachim. Because to e yesh tchumin, if you're going to say there is tchumin lamal me asara, liknei shvisa b'yovim, and therefore it's now outside the tchum when it falls to the ground, and hence we would not allow you to move it kiragle hamimala. So Gemara now rejects this and says, you know what, this is not a valid proof to be poshet the safek whether tchumin is knowing lamala me'asor liolam emelecha yesh tchumin lamala me'asor. And now you'll ask me, well, then these mayim in the clouds should have been kona shvisa in the clouds. And the answer to that is maya be'eva mivla bli, that the waters of rain are completely absorbed in the clouds, and kemisha enom, it's as if they don't exist, and therefore they're not kona shvisa at all. Bein HaShmoshos, and that allows you to be Kona Shvisa Kiragle Hamamalom. And this Gemara is similar to the Gemara at the beginning of Beitza as far as Nolad, whether rainwater should be considered Nolad or not. Oh, so we were mechaving to actually the Gemara's logic here on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. If you're going to tell me that the waters are actually blue in Bi'ananim, they're completely absorbed, is kolshken, then certainly they should be osu b'tilta v'yontif, Tahavile Nolad Asiri. So they would be classified as Nolad, because they didn't exist, so to speak, before Yontif started. They would be Asurim Legamre. You wouldn't even be allowed to metaltal them 1 inch, let alone 4 amas. So based on this kasha, the Gemara is going to retreat from what it said before and come up with another answer. Ella, the reason why these rainwaters were not kone shvisa bananim is because maya bi oven menad naidi. The waters inside the clouds are moving. They're in motion. Which means you can't be koveya a makom. You can't say there's one particular place where they could be kone shvisa if they're in motion. And the Gemara adds to this, Hashta di asis lachi, once you've come to this conclusion, this teretz, then okainus nami lo likshuhu. You could also answer the kasha that we asked before. Why don't we say that the mayim is konish visa b'makom okainus, right before it gets absorbed into the clouds? And we answer because we saw the ananim on erev yontif already full of the water that's going to rain. And why not just answer that mayim okainus nami main at night? That although the okainus is pleasant and the waters are pleasant, but they move from place to place. They are flowing. And therefore these waters cannot be konishvisa bimkoman. And even if you have niskashu oven biyontif, on yontif itself, they wouldn't be also betiltal. Betanya, we learned in a braisa, naharos hamoshchin, umayonos hanovim, arei hein kiragli kol odom. So the Brisa teaches us that when you have waters that are flowing from one place to the other, right? They spring and then when they gush out, now they are just flowing from one place to the other. Or Mayonis, I know if you have spring waters, springs that are in the karka itself, is Arein Kivragli Kol Adam, which means whoever makes an acquisition on Shabbos Yontif, the tchum of the mayim is determined by the tchum of the mamale as hamayim. Even if they're only shaykh to one person, and the reason for that is because since they're in movement, they're not kone shvisa b'mkoman, negror machrei mali ragli hamamale. Okay then, I think this is where we're going to take a break here on the top of Memvav Amud Aleph, and we're up to Omer Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, which is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down for the top of Daf Memvav Amud Aleph.